Title of the lesson this morning is The Power of Contentment. I should say the title of my sermon. Everybody has an idea what contentment is, right? And even the scripture there at the end talked about the love of money. The amazing thing is it's not just money that makes us discontent. Could be your looks, could be your personality, could be a lot of things. And so just to say that the lack of contentment comes from a lack of money isn't necessarily always true. So we're talking about the beauty of being content with what you have and who you are. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you have taught us to be content, taught us to be happy with what we have and who we are. And Father, we just pray that you would just anoint my words this morning in Jesus' name. One of the things that we need to understand, and I hope I can make clear this morning, and that is, just because you're content doesn't mean you never want to change things. What a dull world. If we never wanted to improve, we never wanted to improve things or whatever. So being content is in who you are and what you have. But say a runner, just for illustration, the Bible talks about runners. If you're a runner, you may be in content, but I would think as an athlete myself, I always wanted to improve. You want to improve your time. That doesn't mean you're not content. That just means that you want to improve. We want to improve our church. We want to improve our homes, you know. But I think when we become discontent, you know, we become dissatisfied with what we have and who we are. Contentment isn't a matter of being content with your situation or in life and never trying to improve it. It's a matter of being content with what you have and who you are. But realizing as people, we will always try to improve. We plan things, we set goals, but the Bible wants us to enjoy the journey. You believe that? Are you enjoying the journey? Are you dissatisfied with everything in your life? In Philippians 4:11, it says, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Whatever state you're in, Paul says, I've learned to be content in that state. Meaning that if I'm struggling, I'm content. If I have a lot, I'm content. If I'm having struggles with people, I'm still content. Why? Because my contentment doesn't come from the things around me, but they come from God, from knowing that He's in charge. The definition of contentment from a biblical perspective is an internal satisfaction which does not demand changes in external circumstance. An internal satisfaction that doesn't demand changes in your circumstance. There's circumstances, you know, that we'd all like to change. There's things that we look back on and wish they would have never happened. There's things that we find ourselves in today that we wish weren't there. But all in all, am I content with who I am and what I have? When asked how much money it would take to make him happy, a famous industrialist supposedly said, "Just a little more, just a little more." How many of you have been there? Let's be honest. We all have been. Well, I shouldn't say all of us. Maybe some of you are better than the rest of us. But there are times in our life when we just wished we'd have had a little more. It would have made things just a little easier. But when we found out we got a little more, then we wanted a little more. We just spent a little more and we needed a little more. So that wasn't the answer either. Are you content? If you're a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, peace of heart and mind should be yours to enjoy. Your Heavenly Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the wealth in every mine. He has limitless resources and as a minimum will give to us according to our actual need. Bible promises that he'll give us according to our need. In Philippians 4:19 it says, "And my God will," this is what I like, you probably get a little idea, I like a little extra. He says, "My God will liberally supply, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." What does that mean? He says he'll liberally supply, and that means fill to the full your every need. Now to me that means it's a little more than just getting by. You know, he promised to supply our house, our clothing, and our food. Those three things he promises. Now we can say if we have one pair of underwear and one pair of pants and one shirt, you know, that's all we need, right? But when I think that God's going to provide liberally for me, he might give me two pair of underwear, two pair of pants, and two shirts so I can wash one every other day. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can get by with a lot. But the Bible says that he wants to give us liberally. Our problem is that we often do not understand the difference between need and want. The basic needs we all share are food, clothing, and shelter. All things beyond that are nice, but not absolutely necessary. In 2 Timothy 3:2, it says, "For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters." One of Mark Twain's not-so-famous quotes was, he had learned how to be contented with the very best. He had learned to be contented with the very best. That wasn't quite scriptural, was it? But that's kind of the way that, you know, some people are. The only thing that makes them happy is the best of everything. The other day, I was looking on the news, and it had a list of the 10 most expensive properties in the United States. And I looked over that list, and who owned them? Who would ever need 14 bedrooms, 14 baths? You know, I just wonder what they're thinking when they build those places, if they're just trying to build bigger than the second biggest one, or what the purpose is. Who would ever want to clean the place? Who would ever want to pay for somebody to clean the place? If you had any kids, you would never be able to find them. I just wondered, what were they thinking? When you go to sell the place, nobody can afford to buy it. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6. "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." The greed for money, the greed for things, the greed for being the best, you know, having the best or whatever, causes a lot of sorrows. Think about it. If you're giving your children everything that they want, whenever they want it, and they get to be 21 and get out on their own and have to buy their own cars, have to buy their own houses, and all their life they've been taught that they can have anything they want, whatever they want, and however much they want, all of a sudden, they come to a realization that life isn't quite that way. They can't start out at 20 where their parents are at 50. And that's what some of them want to do. And so what we've done, we've spoiled our children into thinking that when they get married, that they can have everything they want right now, rather than having to wait till you can afford it. The best way is to pay cash. If anybody has, I'll put this little advertisement in here. If anybody has trouble with your finances, Terry and Marty teach a great class by Dave Ramsey that would really be a benefit to you. How to handle your money. How to spend your money. How to budget your money. I believe it's something Jonathan made a statement to us when he was at Lee University. He said every college graduate should have to take Dave Ramsey's course. He said it should be a requirement. That's how much he thinks of it. And so what we do is we teach our children that they can have anything they want. "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Pierced themselves through with many sorrows. True contentment is mirrored in the life of Joseph. Through no fault of his own, he went through a few trials, but he never compromised and remained faithful to the call of God, and God used him to deliver his people. Look at all that Joseph went through, all the things that he went through. The Bible says he never compromised, and he remained faithful to God's call in his life. That's true contentment, true contentment. Paul, the same is true of Apostle Paul, who has said in Philippians 4:11, "For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Think of Paul's life. Everywhere he went, they tried to kill him. How could you be content in that state? Always traveling from this place to that place, never having a place to settle down and be like most people. But he says, no matter where I was, no matter what I was doing, no matter who was trying to kill me, I've learned to be content. Have we got to that place in our lives? Turn to Philippians 4 while we're talking about that scripture. Philippians 4:4. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These are Paul's own words. He said, I've learned it all. I've learned to be happy. I've learned to be content, whether I'm blessed, whether I have lots of food, whether I have a little food. Didn't matter. He's learned to be content. Paul was telling us to be content, but the world's concept is, as the bumper sticker says, he with the most toys wins. You ever see that bumper sticker? He with the most toys wins. That's a lot of people's thinking in life. People with the most. Going back to some of these baseball stars and football stars that have these big fancy houses, a lot of them are movie stars and athletes. There's quite a few of them that when it's all said and done, they've lost it all. They either gamble their money away or they can't afford to make the payments on them big houses. Or they buy too many of them. They buy their mother a house, they buy their brother a house, they buy their sister a house. And by the time it's all done and they build themselves a big house, they have no money left to pay the upkeep. And so a lot of them have lost everything. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his increase, with his income. Things don't make us happy. We choose whether we are happy or not. Happiness is a choice. Do you ever realize that? Happiness is a choice, just like love is a choice. It's proven over and over that it's not the conditions that make me happy, but my choice of thoughts, of attitude, and of behavior. It's not what we have that makes us happy. There's some things I want to mention here about ways to be happy. What can help us to be happy? Number one is finances. Stay out of debt. Do with less. Keep things simple. Simplify your life. You know, one of the times when I think Marilyn and I were probably as content as we ever were, was when we were in Colorado in voluntary service. We gave our lives to the Mennonite Church for 2 years. We got $50 a month. That was to buy our clothes and to put gas in my car, pay the insurance for my car, and whatever the car expenses were. Anything personal, dentist bills or anything like that, had to come out of that $50 a month. They provided us a house to live in and food. But they were probably the most content 2 years of our life. We had nothing but a lot of fun. We learned how to do things without spending money. We used to go to the mountains with the other kids we lived with, camping. We'd go to the mountains tobogganing. We lived in Colorado. There's plenty of place to do that kind of stuff. We'd play games. So it doesn't take money to have fun, in case you were wondering. Relationships. Be content with your friends, with your spouse. Don't always try to change your spouse and your friends. Be content with who they are. If you married them that way, then be content with that. Don't try and change them. God will change them if he wants to change them. My wife tried 20 years to change me. She finally figured out that the only way I was going to change was if God did it. She says he did, so I don't know. She keeps telling people I'm getting better, so. But you get what I'm saying. Be content with your friends. Let them know that you accept them, that you love them the way they are, that they don't have to be somebody else to be your friend, that they don't have to be somebody they're not. If you're married to somebody, accept them the way they are. Don't try and change them. If you change them, you may not like what you get. You liked what you had the first time. With your jobs, people who are content tend not to complain. and tend to have a more positive attitude. And experience shows that almost always leads to more opportunities, both within the job, promotions, new projects, and outside the job, job offers. Content people seem to have more opportunities. They're happy. They do a good job. They're not complaining all the time. They're satisfied. A few of the things here that I have down that will help you with contentment. Number one, to learn contentment, count your blessings. How often have you done that? Count your blessings. Name them one by one, that song says. Count your many blessings, name them one by one. You know, if you're ever discouraged, one of the best things you can do to get out of discouragement is to sit down and look and count your blessings. If you do that, you'll begin to say, well, I don't have it so bad after all. You look around you and say, boy, they got a lot. They're a lot worse off than I am. Number two, stop and remind yourself. Take a deep breath and remind yourself that you should try to be happy with the person for who he or she is. Take a moment to think about the good things in that person, the reason you love that person. Then accept their faults as part of their entire package. Stop and consider why you want something. When you feel the urge to buy something, think about whether it's a need or a want. If it's a want, take a pause. It's good to take 30 days to think about it. If it's a need, it'll still be there. If it's a want, maybe it'll go away. After 30 days, sometimes you think, well, that's not such a big deal. That's not such an important thing. Maybe I don't need that after all. And many times I think if we took the time just to set it aside for 30 days and think about it, we'd have a clearer picture whether we need it or not. Stop and consider why you want it. Take time to appreciate your life. I like to reflect on life. Do you sit down and appreciate your life? I think those of us that go hunting have more opportunity to do that than a lot of people. But when you go out there and sit out in the woods, you look around and you say, boy, this is pretty nice. What better place to be than right here? Do you sit down and appreciate your family? Show people you appreciate them. It's good to appreciate people, but it's even better to show them. Give them a hug, a smile, spend time with them, thank them out loud, and thank them publicly. Thank them publicly. Don't be afraid to show appreciation. Breathe and smile. A well-known monk said it works in this context. Sometimes when we take the time to breathe and smile, it can change our outlook on life. Learn to enjoy the simple things. Instead of wanting to buy expensive things and spend money on doing things like eating out or entertainment, learn to enjoy stuff that's free. Conversations and walks and other people, spending time outdoors, watching a DVD or playing board games, going to the beach, playing sports, running. Those things don't cost much and they're awesome. Life is good, isn't it? One of the things that we need to understand is to really enjoy life, we need to be content. When we're not content, we get ourselves in trouble constantly. We do things that we shouldn't do. We buy things that we shouldn't buy. And we have problems with people that we shouldn't have problems with just because of lack of contentment in our life. And I think when you look around, it's one of the problems even in the church. Not in the church per se, the building here, but people in the church. You know, as much as we like to call ourselves Christians, why do people not get along? Why do we have divorces? Why do certain things happen? Because usually somebody's not content with where they are. And so we all need to learn to be content. I've had to learn to be content with who I am, what I'm doing, and why God has me where He has me. And you need to learn to be content with where you are and what you're doing. Don't be trying to take somebody else's job. Don't try and do somebody else's job. Do what you've been called to do, and you'll be content. When people aren't content with where they are and their position in life, then they want somebody else's position and they cause problems in the workplace because they're not content. But the Bible says that your gift will make room for you. If God wants to promote you, He'll make room for you so He can promote you. He'll make a position that doesn't even exist for you. You don't have to be discontent and cause problems. You don't have to go home and cause problems in the home because I'm the boss here. If you're not content, then ask God to show you, to help you be content, because you're never going to be happy unless you're content. And God's all about you being happy. God's all about that. He wants you to be happy. Until you find contentment, you're not going to be happy. Amen?